You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Rena Katz is a visual and sonic artist based in Toronto. She was commissioned to create an exhibit by the Koffler Center for the Arts, but just before it opened last May, they pulled their support and the exhibit did not open. We spoke to her earlier this year, and she has joined us again today with an update of the situation. Hello, Rena, and welcome back to Red Eye.
Hi, thanks so much.
Now, can you give us a summary of what happened in May with the Koffler Center? You were commissioned to prepare an exhibit, and they withdrew their support.
Yeah, basically, I had been working with them for 13 months on a commissioned site-specific exhibition in Toronto's Kensington Market. And 10 days before the show was supposed to open, they called myself and Kim Simon, the independent curator on the project, to a secret meeting that they wouldn't disclose the contents of to us. And when we arrived, they told us that they were dissociating from the exhibition due to my public work and statements around Palestine, and particularly Zionism.
And then after the Koffler Center withdrew their support, what happened?
Well, a number of things happened. In terms of the exhibition itself, we were working with a Jewish geriatric center here called the Baycrest Center for Geriatric Care. This is actually the place that I learned how to speak Yiddish. I visited my great aunts there every week for 7 or 8 years. And we were working with 6 seniors there in a sort of relational project where they would be telling their stories of Kensington Market to inner-city youth. Baycrest pulled their participation in the project as soon as Koffler sent out a press release, which happened virtually half an hour after the meeting ended. So there was sort of like a domino effect, and the project felt really precarious at that point. Also, a number of community supporters came out, artists, cultural workers, activists, and wrote hundreds of letters to the Koffler complaining of their decision. Koffler's press release did not have the effect they expected. They got a number of cultural institutions across the country quite upset with them for their decision. So it kind of triggered a bit of a backlash. And in the months following the Toronto Arts Council, their board actually had a session around this and determined that I was discriminated against on the basis of political affiliation, and has since made their funding to the Koffler Arts Center contingent upon a number of things.
What things in particular?
Well, it's not totally clear to me, as it is a client based relationship with the Arts Council, but things like transparency of their parent organization, the United Jewish Appeal, things like clarity around statements such as Jewish core values, not assuming that all Jewish core values are the same or universal, things like discussing their policy for choosing artists and vetting artists and that kind of thing.
And has the Koffler Center responded?
They've responded in the media, and we have not had personal ties since the dissociation happened. While we were sort of trying to keep the show together, it became more and more clear that their funding that they had promised would continue would be contingent on a relationship that just didn't exist. So we ended up going with a legal route and kind of negotiating through how to get that funding, and that was settled in early September.
Okay. Now, given the Toronto Arts Commission's position, do you think the Koffler Center for the Arts will allow disparate Jewish voices on the issue of Palestine and Israel to be heard?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and I really don't know what their future plans are, but what they've been saying throughout this process is that there's a line in the sand for them. They are perfectly fine associating with Jewish artists who question Israeli policy, who have interest in democracy and the notion of dissent, especially around the occupation. But because I'm a member of a group called Israeli Apartheid Week, which is an educational forum around the effects of Israeli apartheid on Palestinians, for them that was too much. And I think what this points to is that is the very issue of fear in the Jewish community, in the Zionist community, because there is so much ignorance around what Palestine solidarity work means and what it looks like. There's a lot of assumptions, especially around this term apartheid, which has become a real hot issue in the province of Ontario this summer. There was a number of events that happened, including Koffler's dissociation from my exhibition, that sort of centered around this word and what it means.
Well, given what's happened with your exhibit and given what happened with the Toronto International Film Festival, do you think there's a change or a shift that's happening within the Jewish community in terms of the Palestinian issue?
Yeah, you know, my sense, I sort of have different senses of it. Certainly, I was contacted by a number of Zionist-identified artists and cultural workers who said, look, I don't agree with your views, but what the Koffler Center did was ridiculous, and we can't be afraid of this issue as a community. On the other hand, you know, in reference to the film festival, what we're seeing is a refusal to acknowledge the political nature of, you know, the Israeli state's mandate to change its international reputation through things like film festivals. And it is a very deliberate political act to choose Tel Aviv as a city to highlight, you know, 6 months after the bombing of Gaza, where we saw so much brutality, so much violence, and so much, you know, illegal activity, even on the level of military incursion, things like bombing the UN schools, etc. So there's a lot of dialogue that I think this has brought up in society, which is great. I don't know that that represents a huge shift one way or the other, but my hope is certainly that there can be some alternative voices heard throughout all of these processes. And indeed, I feel that the media has been incredibly sympathetic to my situation. And currently here in Toronto, we also have the Toronto Palestine Film Festival, which I've curated an exhibition for. So there's a lot of interest in the kind of emergence of an alternative story around this history.
And now, speaking of your situation, a revised version of your exhibit is now ready. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, so Kim and I were very certain that we wanted to continue with the exhibition in some form, and as I said earlier, we did manage to ensure continued funding. So we're going to be mounting an altered form of the exhibition from October 1st to October 25th in Kensington Market, as originally designed. It involves a series of performative gestures. It involves some of my compositions that were in the original work. It also involves the symbol of scaffolding, which is maintained from the previous exhibition. Unfortunately, we still have not found a way to work with the seniors or even meet with them to share my experiences of what happened. So that part of the project has unfortunately died.
Well, thanks for speaking with us today, Rina.
No problem. Thank you so much for your continued interest in the issue.
We've been speaking with Rina Katz. She's a visual and sonic artist based in Toronto. For more information about the revised version of Each Hand as They Are Called, go to www.eachhand.org. It runs from October 1st to the 10th in Kensington Market in Toronto. And for more information about Rina, visit her personal website at radiodress.ca.